Good day and welcome. I'm Stuart Sutton, and you are listening to Voices from the Field. Voices from the Field is an ongoing Information School series of recorded conversations with noted professionals in library and information science regarding both the field's expectations of new professionals and the changing landscape of professional work. And today it's my pleasure to have Jim Shepke as my guest. Now, Jim is a member of the Information School's MLIS Advisory Board and currently serves as State Librarian with the Oregon State Library. Jim holds a Master of Library and Information Science degree from the University of Texas at Austin and has served with the Oregon State Library since 1986 and as State Librarian since 1991. Prior to the Oregon State Library, Jim worked at the Texas State Library and in the West Texas Library System, and he served as president of the Oregon Library Association and of the Western Council of State Libraries. Jim was named Oregon Library Association Librarian of the Year in 1996 and received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Oregon Association of School Libraries in 2001. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks, Stuart.
I'd like to begin, Jim, with you telling our listeners about your career path. Students are always interested in the, you know, sometimes labyrinthine professional paths people take and what influenced, you know, their judgments with regard to points along those paths. So please tell us a little bit about yours.
Well, I was one of these people who sort of took a while to decide I wanted to be a librarian. When I graduated from college with my undergraduate degree, I actually went to work in a bookstore and did that for about 5 years and, you know, enjoyed that. But I realized I couldn't make a living at it. So when I was in my late 20s, I decided to go to library school, and I was pretty anxious, you know, to get going on my career. So I was fortunate because I was able to sort of leverage my work in bookstores. I actually worked my way up to a management position in bookstores, and so my first job out of library school was actually a management job at the Lubbock City County Library in Lubbock, Texas. And I was their business manager, which it was kind of odd that they wanted a MLS librarian as their business manager, but it was good. And so I kind of got a quick start, which was what I was looking for. You know, I was just feeling, you know, I really needed to move quickly. Because my aspiration was to be in a management position. So that turned out to be really good. And I think a lesson to be learned from that is that, you know, people need to be willing to go someplace, you know, that might not be, when I was in library school at the University of Texas, of course, everybody wanted to stay in Austin because it was a great place to be. And they really didn't want to leave, but I saw the opportunity to go to Lubbock, which is a much less desirable place.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So, it was a great opportunity. I mean, I really now looking back, you know, feel fortunate that I was able to kind of make that jump from library school right into an administrative position. And then, you know, things kind of took off from there. I did that. I was a business manager at the public library for a few years. And then there was an opening at the West Texas Library System, which is a regional library system that's based at the Lubbock City County Library. And so I competed for that job and got that job as director of the West Texas Library System. And then I went from there to the Texas State Library because that kind of got me into library development work. And I went to work in the library development department at the Texas State Library for a few years. And then I was recruited to come out to Oregon to the State Library to be head of the Library Development Division out here. And my parents had moved to the Seattle area, actually, before that. And so I'd been to the Northwest, and I saw what a great place it was out here. So so that was really wonderful to get that job. And then in 1991, I competed for the state librarian's job and got that. And that's how my career has gone.
Well, that's grand. I think there's a really very important point in there about the willingness to relocate, particularly around first initial positions, to position yourself and not get too geographically constrained early on if you can avoid it. I know some of our students can't avoid it. They have, you know, settled families, and moving may not be in the cards for them. But being able to do it really, I think, helps jumpstart, helps you, you know. And sometimes, as you note, those places where those great opportunities are aren't necessarily, you know, paradise in terms right. of places on the planet.
Right.
Okay, well, that's grand.
And the thing, Stuart, about that, too, is that I was only in Lubbock. It was less than 5 years.
Yeah,
right. So, I mean, that's the way to look at it. Is it's kind of like paying your dues, you know.
Correct.
If you're willing to do that, I think it's really worth it. I mean, you'll find yourself farther ahead by doing that.
Yeah, we hear that. We hear that often from the field. Well, Jim, I'd like to start asking a few questions, but I think I'll begin, you know, 1,000 feet up in the air. I'd really like you to look down, look in your crystal ball, and look at changes that are going on, and talk to us a little bit about what you consider the most significant changes that are currently shaping professional work, but also institutional demands on that work.
I think the changes right now are just incredible. I mean, when I became a librarian in 1979, you know, libraries had basically been, you know, they were being operated on the same business model as they have been, you know, for hundreds of years. I mean,
Yeah.
In 1979, you know, somebody from the 19th century that was, you know, transported into the future could have walked into a library and recognized everything, you know, as being the same pretty much. I mean, there, you know, but when I look back on what's happened since then, you know, it's really incredible. And if anything, you know, that change is just accelerating. You know, we're one of the things that the state librarians are really thinking about right now is the ebook revolution, which really, you know, is here. And, you know, what's that going to mean for public libraries in particular? And that could make some huge changes in the way public libraries do business. So, you know, there's all this change that's being driven by technology. Libraries obviously have to adopt all this new technology and get on the bandwagon and get with it and not be left behind. And we just got to do that. There's no two ways about it. But then, you know, you mentioned institutional demands. The problem there is that our resources nowadays are really more and more constrained. I mean, budgets are being cut or they're flat. And, you know, if you're really honest about the future, it may not get better. I mean, it may not be a cyclical thing. It may be that this is the new reality that we're going to have to do with less.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that comes into play, and it's a tremendous challenge, I think, for the next generation of librarians to sort of reinvent our practice and invest in areas that we need to invest in to do that. At the same time, you know, doing that with fewer resources. And, you know, we really got to begin to talk seriously about how we can deliver more service with fewer resources and not, you know, I mean, we've always sort of felt that libraries have never gotten enough resources. And so we're very sort of defensive, and we have a lot of bad feelings around that. And, you know, one of the reactions is just say, well, we got to advocate and get more, you know, we got to stand up. And, but, you know, there's limits to what can be achieved with that. I think we honestly have to look at how, you know, we can do things differently to deliver as much or more as we have in the past with fewer resources. That's the challenge, and I don't think there's any way around it.
Well, would you think, Jim, that within that context, within this environment of constrained resources, the possibility that is the reality, the permanent reality, that resources aren't going to become more abundant, and that you have to be thinking about new ways of achieving maybe some of the old things and then probably a lot of new things along with it within those same constraints. Does that signal, do you think, significant shifts in the kind of knowledge and skills that affect professionals that they need to know?
I think so. I mean, I think one of the ways we're going to be able to do more with less is through the use of technology. So I think it's absolutely important that every library school student have a very thorough grounding in technology and know how to make use of technology, not just the technology we have today, but the technology we'll have 5 or 10 years from now, because that's going to be a key. So that's one thing that I think is tremendously important. Another thing is, another thing that's going to save us is collaboration and teamwork and working with other people, working across institutional boundaries, knowing how to forge partnerships with other organizations. I mean, that's where we're already seeing the ability to do more with less. When libraries come together and work together and collaborate and don't duplicate resources. We've got a lot of great examples of that up here in the Pacific Northwest, like the Orbis Cascade Alliance for our academic libraries, where they're collaborating in many, many ways, and they're saving a lot of money and still delivering great service to students and faculty. So that's the kind of thing people need to know how to do.
Well, I would also think that technology itself would be useful and is proving useful in forging those alliances and making them operationally functional, and will probably play bigger and bigger roles in sharing resources and so forth, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this whole shift to open source software is very, very exciting to me. And you know, the future of open source integrated library systems. Oregon State University has developed a federated search engine that's open source. And that, there again, I mean, that's librarians with a lot of technical knowledge coming together, working together, sharing that, and creating the tools that they need to collaborate at a low cost.
Yeah, that reverberates with me. It sounds, it's reminiscent of the librarians with good grasp on technical stuff that were there at the birth and instituted the birth of the MARC and, you know, other technologies. We got to keep inventing. We got to keep inventing in order to meet these needs.
Right.
Jim, so this is a dramatically changing environment. So what qualities, both in a newly minted professional, but also in terms of staff, you know, your own employees, what qualities best enable professionals to make the kind of shifts that you're seeing in front of you?
Well, you know, first there has to be a whole lot of commitment, because these challenges are very, very difficult. So anybody that's coming into the profession of librarianship, you know, that's not prepared for constant change, for constant challenge, they're going to be unhappy. there has to be a real commitment to what we're doing and a readiness to take on these challenges. The other thing that we look for when we hire librarians is we look for leadership, because we really believe that everybody can be a leader and that you can lead, from any position, including entry-level librarian. So we're always looking for that for that spark and for that person, who obviously wants to lead, take charge, get something done, make a change. That's tremendously important to us.
Yeah, that seems sometimes to me, Jim, to kind of run counter to how many students perceive what they need to be when they first go in, which is to fit in, to become a part, a piece, a cog in this big, and they tend not to think of themselves in terms of people coming in new with any kind of commitment around bringing change. I wouldn't think. I don't know. I could be
wrong. Well, unfortunately, there are libraries that probably would prefer to have librarians that are not given the opportunity to lead. And, my advice to your students would be, don't go there. Don't work for that library, because it's not going to help you in your career if you don't have the opportunities to be a leader. In fact, if I were interviewing for my first library position, one of my questions would be, what opportunities will I have in this library to be a leader? And if I didn't get a good answer to that, I wouldn't be inclined to work there.
Good advice. Good advice. Jim, in addition to leadership, do you see other major, are there other major qualities that help?
I think librarians really need to be grounded in the theory of librarianship, in the history of librarianship. I'm a little bit, I don't see enough of that, Mm-hmm. I think people coming into the profession need to see their job in the context of librarianship. And I think by doing that, they become more committed, because they see the wonderful history and the all we've accomplished, and the tremendous respect that our culture has for libraries and librarians. And I think that's one thing that can be taught pretty easily. The whole context of librarianship, the theory, the history, the philosophy. I hope students are getting that.
Well, I hope so too. We're going to do everything we can to help them. When you, Jim, this may be, riding on the back of these previous questions, but when you think of your, if I could say, star employees, have you already enumerated the characteristics of those kind of people that stand out?
Yeah, we actually have some star employees that graduated from the high school.
Great.
And I'd even name names, if that's okay.
That's okay.
Well, Darcy Hanning is one, and she's been with us a few years now. She graduated from the high school. She's a star because she leads a project called Plinkit, mm-hmm. which brought content management systems to about 50 libraries in the state of Oregon, public libraries. And so these are rural, small libraries that would not have a good website if it weren't for this content management system that we host at the state library. Darcy manages it. She also works with a collaborative of states that's now all adopted Plinkit. It's open source content management system software based on the Plone content management system. And she's a leader in that group. So, her qualities are our leadership, the ability to get out and work with libraries all over the state, speak their language, bring them along, And she's, you know, she's a real outspoken staff member here. And she just got appointed to the budget committee that's going to adopt our budget proposal for the next biennium. So she's not, you know, she's not shy about jumping in and taking leadership. And she's, you know, her technical skills are very outstanding. She's been to Plon boot camp, and you know, she can get under the hood of the content management system and really knows how it works. So those are, you know, those are the qualities of a star at my library.
Great, great. Well, it's good to know. It's good to know that we're doing some things right here. Jim, how much of what your professional employees do would you say is actually learned on the job, as opposed to what you expect them to already have in their toolkit when they're freshly hired? So that's kind of a backdoor question about what should we be getting them ready for, and what's what kind of things, what kind of knowledge and learning is in your bailiwick?
I think it's about 50-50. You know, I think, again, what we want them to come to us with is the commitment, the theory, the history, the context. And then depending on what they're going to do, you know, they should have some knowledge. If they're going into youth services, you know, they need to know all about early literacy and brain development and all the things now that relate to that. If they're going into technology, there's obviously a fairly big body of knowledge that they need to bring to the job. So, I think we're seeing that, and I think it's fine. You know, we haven't seen that our entry level librarians don't bring, you know, what they need. It's been about right, and we're willing to train them on the job and to continue their education, so that they can be productive here. So that's the way I see that.
Great, great. Jim, are there, again, given the changing environment and changing needs, are there kinds of positions you're having difficulty filling right now, or which are the most difficult to fill now in terms of finding qualified people? And do you anticipate, you know, looking in that crystal ball about where this is going, do you anticipate difficulties, hiring difficulties, beyond having the funds to hire, I mean, which we all understand, in the next few years out? Are there difficult positions?
I think technology-related positions are still difficult. You know, despite all the emphasis on that, it's still hard to find a librarian who knows as much about software development, for example, as we would like. I mean, we still tend to have to contract out software development. We don't try to do that in-house. But, you know, we need librarians on the staff who can work with the developers and know enough about it, you know, to make sure we're getting what we're paying for and that it works, and if there's problems, you know, dealing with that. So I think it's still hard to hire a librarian who has enough of the technology background. That's one thing. The other thing, we don't have any openings right now, but for managers. But in the past, we've often struggled to hire managers, and I think that's going to really become even more critical in the future. You know, for a long time, there's been this notion out there that there's going to be this huge retirement of baby boomers from librarianship that's going to create a lot of opportunity. And I think, unfortunately, to your new graduates, that really hasn't started happening yet. But it's definitely going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. And what I worry about then is enough managers coming up to be able to take over the top leadership positions in libraries. And I'd say to your students that, you know, anybody that wants to be a manager, there's going to be huge opportunities to take over departments and to take over as directors and assistant directors. So so I hope, you know, what I worry about is that there's not enough librarians that want to be in those positions of top leadership. But we're going to need a lot of people to take over in a few years.
Yeah. Jim, what aspects of professional work? I want to ask again a question about new people coming in. What aspects of professional work do you find these new professionals in general least able to handle? And what kinds of misperceptions do you find that they tend to have about the nature of professional work? In other words, alignment of their goals or what they think it's going to be with what it actually is.
We don't find a lot of that, but if there is any of that, it is around this issue of leadership. You know, people that think that in their first job, they can just sort of sit back and catalog books or answer reference questions or do story times for children and not do anything around leadership. And in my library, that's definitely not going to be the case. You know, we're going to ask you to chair a committee. We're going to ask you to join the Oregon Library Association and be on one of their committees, lead, you know, be a conference chair or something like that. You're going to be asked to lead, and you need to be ready for that. And if you're not, it's not going to be good. So I think that, you know, that could be a misperception that people think in their first job, you know, they're just going to sit back and sort of do their practice and not have to take on these other leadership activities.
I hear that frequently from people in the field. That leads me to another question, though. You just mentioned, you know, getting out and interacting outside of the library with other professionals and so forth. And what kind of expectations in this leadership capacity and otherwise do you have around employee continuing education and the library's role in that, the professionals' role in their own, in taking control of their own continuing education? So talk to me a little bit about how you view continuing education.
We are very committed to that at the Oregon State Library, and we set a minimum standard of 20 hours a year for all our staff, not just for librarians. And most of our staff actually exceed that by quite a bit. And we try to make, you know, opportunities for people. There's more and more opportunities coming along. That's a good thing. And we think, you know, our Oregon Library Association plays a very important role in that. Their annual conference is really excellent. We're very excited about the new library support staff certification that the American Library Association is rolling out.
Yes.
That doesn't apply to librarians, but for the rest of our staff, we're hoping that many of them will pursue that certification. So we think it's tremendously important in this changing environment that all our staff, you know, keep on top of all the changes and keep learning all the time.
Well, Jim, let's wrap up with me asking about advice that you might give. You've already given some great advice to young professionals entering the field, but some of the students that will be listening to this conversation. Still have time here in the iSchool to take courses and to diversify or to concentrate, or they have time. And then others are just getting ready to enter. And what advice would you give the students at this point? And some of that may even, Jim, harken back to your own education. I mean, what do you wish you'd done? You know, in terms of, you know, looking back, what opportunities did you not take that you might have? Anyway, what advice would you give them?
Well, I think, you know, one thing is to just be clear about where your passion is. If it's serving children, if it's developing new open source library software, if it's being a director of a public library or an academic library. You know, I know it's hard for a student to maybe know where their passion is, but I think if they can figure that out, it sure helps. In my case, you know, I knew right away, having managed a small bookstore, that I wanted to be a library director. And so I took the course. I took some courses that helped me with that. Mostly, I just got done real fast and got out to the Lubbock City County Library and got going on the career. But I think, you know, kind of knowing what your direction is really helps. And then, you know, I think some of the advice I've already given is, I just emphasize again, if there's any way that people can really be nimble and be mobile and go, you know, go where the jobs are, and not not, you know, not make it a short-term commitment, maybe, you know. And I think employers understand that. They don't expect somebody to make a lifetime commitment to their library. So it's really worth it, you know, in your first position to go where you have to go, and maybe you'll only be there 3 or 4 years, and then you can, you know, then you can start looking around again. I actually, you know, in the early part of my career, I was moving every, you know, I was moving to a different position every 4 or 5 years. You know, I'd be in a job, you know, 2 or 3 years, and then I'd start looking around, you know, what's next. And I think people don't do that enough. You know, they tend to kind of settle in, and that's how they don't, and you don't get ahead that way. You know, you really have to be ready to move, and to advance. So I hope people want to do that. I know management isn't for everybody, but the reason I talk about it a lot is because I'm worried that we're going to have enough good managers in the future to replace all of us my age who will be leaving the scene here in the next 5 years or so. So I hope a lot of your students aspire to leadership immediately upon becoming librarians, and then aspire even beyond that to top leadership as they move further in their careers.
Great advice, Jim. Great advice. But in closing, is there anything that you would like to say to these young burgeoning information professionals that are going to be newly minted soon? Anything that we've not covered that you think would be useful for them to know?
I want to thank them, you know, for their choice of library and information science as a career, because I think it's wonderful, and I'm so impressed, you know, whenever I'm around students, at the quality, the intelligence. You know, it's really heartening for me, as somebody who will retire in a few years, to know that the next generation coming up is really impressive to me. And I think they've made a great choice. You know, I've never regretted becoming a librarian. I think it's one of the best jobs there is. There's no downside to it. You know, you think of a lot of professions, and and there's, you know, there's something about it that's kind of not so hot. Even doctors and lawyers and architects and, you know, almost any profession you can name, there's sort of a critique that can be made, you know, about the outcomes of their practice. But that's not true of librarians. You know, I mean, everything we do, you know, it's kind of all good, which is wonderful, you know, to be in that profession. So I'm sure that will be true of all your graduates. They'll find that that it's just very rewarding to do what we do.
Yeah, you know, Jim, I hear that all the time about how rewarding it is. And even in the face of, you know, times like right now when you know, when the economic constraints are particularly pinching or you still, you know, it's still, you know, a great way to commit to social change. It's a great way to commit one's life. And I hear it all the time about how few regrets they are. And I don't know, Jim, whether you know that before entering this field, I was an intellectual property lawyer.
Right. I've heard that.
And I can't tell you how many points there are to the downside to that. And I too, although I'm not in practice, feel the same way. I feel that same excitement around what it is that we do.
Right.
So anyway,
in many ways, those other professions have failed, and you know, we don't need to go into that. But you know, the whole healthcare debate right now brings home the fact that our health professionals really have failed us in many ways. But you know, you can't say that about librarians. Librarians have done tremendous work. Libraries have been tremendously successful. And we deliver really outstanding service to people. So just to be a part of that is a real pleasure.
Well, I think our time is just about up here. Thank you very much, Jim. I mean, this is a great, great conversation. And I think it gives these students, you know, many, many, many pearls of wisdom to take away. So thank you, and I look forward at our board meetings to conversing further about how this all these changes and everything are going to impact how the profession works and how it can remain committed to those goals that define it. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, Stuart.
Bye-bye.
Bye.